Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. What do communities lose when fewer journalists fill their local newsrooms? That's one question surrounding the proposed $1.4 billion merger between newspaper chains Gatehouse Media and Gannett. The companies hope the merger will help expand digital coverage and boost revenue, but the merger also hints at massive changes for local publications, including employee layoffs. WBUR Bostonomics reporter Callum Borchers has been following this story and joins us now in the studio. Welcome back, Callum.
Hey, Tiziana.
Also with us is John Carroll, WBUR senior news analyst and blogger at It's Good to Live in a Two Daily Town. John, good to have you back.
Good to be here.
All right, Callum, give us the nuts and bolts. How did this merger come to be? How big is it? What would it mean for the two companies?
It's big. So we're talking about 263 daily news outlets under the combined companies. That's one in almost every single state, at least one, including Guam, Tiziana. Let's not forget the Pacific Daily News.
I might have forgotten Guam.
Broad reach. The story really begins earlier in the year, though, with a different company trying to buy Gannett. So one of Gannett's largest shareholders is a company called Digital First. That's the parent company for the Boston Herald. Digital First attempted a hostile takeover of Gannett. Gannett's board rejected that offer, and Digital First then said it might try to pack the board with people who might be more receptive to the idea. So the whole episode kind of left Gannett, I think, looking for other possible suitors, and lo and behold, 5 months later, we have Gatehouse buying Gannett for almost the exact same price that Digital First had offered. I think it's worth remembering that if you look at the company's reputations, as much as we talk about the criticisms of Gatehouse, and we'll get to those, John Carroll, I'm sure. I think that the reputation for Digital First might be that it is even more austere.
And they were the first group.
And they were the first buyer or potential buyer.
All right. And so sort of to that point of, wait, now who was the first group? Who was the second group?
Exactly.
Even
it's
as
confusing.
It is. There are a lot of players here and a lot of groups owning other groups, and then there are outside investors. So who stands to make money here, and what is at stake financially?
Well, just a little bit about the companies involved. So Gannett is the flagship, or the owner, I should say, of USA Today. That's the flagship paper. It's probably the better-known brand. So this combined company would operate under the Gannett name, even though Gatehouse is the buyer. Gatehouse has the bigger presence here in New England, so it's the publisher of daily papers like the Providence Journal, the Worcester Telegram and Gazette, the Patriot Ledger, and dozens of weeklies all over our state. Who stands to make money? Presumably the shareholders, right, of these two companies. But the shareholders, at least for Gatehouse right now, seem a little bit skeptical of whether this idea is a good one. The stock price tumbled on news of the deal.
Okay, and just briefly before I turn to John, this is not actually a done deal yet. Is that right?
Right. So the shareholders, the aforementioned shareholders, still have to approve this deal. And so the executives for these two companies, Gannett and Gatehouse, are in the midst of what's known as a roadshow right now. So they're going around the country meeting with influential investors and trying to convince them that this is a good idea. But as I say, they've got some work to do. So on the Friday before this deal was announced, the Gatehouse parent company's stock was trading a little over $10 a share. The deal is announced on a Monday. By Wednesday, the price is down into the sixes. So
okay.
it knocked a third off of the stock value. It's recovering a little bit, but they still have to be convinced.
Okay. So, John, assuming it does go through, they're convinced and it happens, how is it going to impact local community journalism in the Commonwealth?
Well, probably not well. One other thing about the deal itself, Gatehouse is the smaller entity here. They have less cash flow. They have less revenue. They have lower circulation. They have a lower market cap. So it's strange that Gatehouse is the acquirer here. This isn't a merger. This is an acquisition. And to do that, they're borrowing $1.8 billion at a knee-buckling interest rate of 11.5%. So already, from the very start, this thing has a lot of ins and outs and a lot of potential trouble from a financial standpoint. What these companies are known for, Gannett, not as much as Gatehouse, but Gatehouse certainly, is going in and cutting these newspaper organizations, trying to pull out as much revenue and profit as they can, and sometimes just leaving the empty husk behind. It's a really difficult situation because newspaper revenues are dropping, and they will drop again probably by 5% over the next year. There's going to be a tremendous amount of debt involved here. It's going to be very hard to pull out the profit level that shareholders want. And so there are going to be cuts. There are going to be consolidations as well. So, you know, they can consolidate their print buying. They can consolidate marketing efforts, that kind of thing. But one Observer, newspaper Observer, told the New York Post the only way that they get to the $200 to $300 million savings annually that Gatehouse is talking about is to cut basically 1,500 to 2,000 jobs.
So let's stay with that for a minute, because we're getting a sneak preview of some of that. This month, we saw more than two dozen layoffs at 10 newspapers across the country, which included in Providence, Brockton, Worcester. Kellum, you spoke to Dave Souza, who was the last staff photographer at the Gatehouse-owned Fall River Herald News. He was laid off this month after 34 years at the paper. Here's what he had to say about his and other employees' departures.
I've been told recently that schoolboy sports does not get the coverage, at least online, that they want, and they're considering eliminating it. The other guy who was laid off with me that day was Mike Thomas. He was the sports editor. I've never seen a newspaper without a sports editor. For that matter, I've never seen a newspaper without photographers.
So there's nostalgia for the way things used to be in local news, but there's also real loss here. What do communities, what are they concerned about losing?
I think they're concern is that they're going to lose an individual identity for the hometown newspaper, that they're all kind of going to blur together and kind of all look the same. I mean, for example, earlier this year, Gatehouse took 50 weekly newspapers in Massachusetts and combined them down into 18. So you had towns that previously had their own dedicated paper that no longer do. I think perhaps you'll see more content sharing, especially if Gannett merger goes through, then you'll see maybe USA Today national content in what were previously Gatehouse papers. And I have to say, I shared Dave Souza's confusion about the sports and photo cutting, to be honest with you, Tiziana, because my experience in local newsrooms like this one is that they get disproportionate amount of attention from audiences, because I think some of the most loyal readers of these hometown papers are the parents of young athletes who want to see their kids' picture in the paper with Little League and high school sports. So, but this does seem to be a trend. A lot of other photographers have been laid off. The sports editor in Brockton and Quincy were also laid off recently. So this is where they're making cuts.
So that quote was from the Fall River paper, and Fall River is a place where the stakes are pretty high. Gatehouse owns the Herald News. It is the primary watchdog of indicted Mayor Jaisal Correa and his administration. In his case, it actually could be kind of beneficial to have the newspaper be weakened, but even he says he doesn't want that.
Of course, sometimes I feel there are certain reporters that have a bias, and I think every politician feels that way. But it also reminds me all the time about how important, when they do report something that I maybe don't want them to report in the way that they do, how important the press is.
John, a functioning democracy relies on the free flow of quality information. So what does it say about what we'd be losing in terms of the democratic function of journalism and newspapers with this kind of shrinkage?
Yeah, A.J. Liebling, the great press critic for The New Yorker, said the function of the press in society is to inform, but its role in society is to make money. And so there's always been this tension between the journalistic goals of a newspaper organization and the financial mandates. This is even more so now. It's been exacerbated now because of the hedge funds that come in and basically buy up these chains. And then Judgment Day is every 3 months when the quarterly report comes out. So this is something where this tension that has existed throughout newspaper history has become much more tilted in the other direction. So I think accountability is what falls by the wayside. So there's a lot that goes on in towns. I mean, when you think about it, you know, what happens on Capitol Hill usually has less impact on people than what happens on Beacon Hill. So, you know, and then not to mention City Hall. So what you have,
all politics is local.
Right. So what you have is a lot of things that are day-to-day have day-to-day significance for people are going unremarked and unaccounted for. So I think that that's one of the biggest problems. One of the ideas of this, they were talking about online sports. One of the ideas behind this mega merger is to buy themselves a couple of years to figure out digital. But Gatehouse only gets 12% of its revenue from digital. Gannett gets 36%. I mean, they've got a long way to go. If they're looking to for digital to be the savior of the newspaper business, they have a real long way to go in terms of making that conversion, making that transition.
So we're actually going to talk more about sports as later in the show, but this sports analogy strikes me, Kellum, because we know that in sports you have feeder teams, right? So you have the minor leagues
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's something to be said for the loss of talent, because local newspapers serve as training grounds for journalists, for photographers, you know, who eventually graduate to these national publications like The Globe, The New York Times, The Washington Post. You know a bit about that. So
yeah.
What would we lose here?
Yeah, I should mention this as disclosure anyway, but that's my exact path. I mean, my early jobs as a freelancer in the newspaper world were with Gatehouse Publications. I was a stringer for my hometown Medfield Press when I was an undergrad. I worked at the Metro West Daily News nights as a grad student. I was a football writer for the Newton Tab. I mean, these are the papers where I learned the craft and then moved on to the Boston Globe and then the Washington Post.
And so now I think, the best of all of those.
And now the best of all, of course, at WBUR. And so, you know, the risk here, aside from the immediate loss of local coverage and whatnot, is that you also perhaps lose this pipeline of talent to the larger outlets. I mean, John, I think quite rightly said that, you know, you maybe need to know what's going on at City Hall even more so than, you know, Beacon Hill and Capitol Hill. But the people on Capitol Hill are sometimes the people who used to cover City Hall. And I think that's what we risk losing here as well.
As I was listening to this story and learning more about it over the last couple of days, one of the things that just kept playing in my head over and over again is when you reach the point where it feels like profits matter more than information, more than the quality flow of what's happening in your community, does it suggest that it's time for journalism to veer towards a nonprofit model to take the profits out of the picture? John, what do you think?
Well, they already don't make any profit. So,
Nonprofit,
but
not by
choice. That, I mean, on purpose.
They're already there. I think it depends. There have been some St. Petersburg Times, I think, is one that has a nonprofit status. It's run by the Poynter Institute. There are a couple. I think one of the problems that you get is that you get people with agendas who are coming in and essentially potentially imposing their agenda on you. It's the same thing with a government bailout. I mean, that's the worst thing you could possibly do, is bring the government in to newspapers. I mean, you know, once they come in, you know, they basically are taking their shoes off and putting their feet up on the coffee table and making a bologna sandwich. They come in and they disrupt the balance, the equilibrium of a news organization. So I think it's very tricky, and I think, you know, it may be possible, but it, you know, when you're dependent on the kindness of strangers for your existence and for the function of the newsroom, you know, that can be a little bit dangerous.
And I should clarify, having worked in nonprofits for a long time, nonprofit organizations make revenues, but they don't pocket them. All right, so Callum, in just a word or two, what do we watch for next in this story?
I think we watch to see how the rest of the roadshow goes, make sure that Gannett and Gatehouse are able to actually win over their investors and get this deal closed. They're hoping for the end of this year or the beginning of next. And assuming that does happen, then I think the eye is on your local newspaper. Is it combined with another one? Are there more staffer cuts to watch for? I think those are the trends that we're going to just have to keep our eyes on in the coming months.
So watch that space. WBUR Bostonomics reporter Callum Borchers, hey, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be with you.
And John Carroll, WBUR senior news analyst and blogger at It's Good to Live in a Two Daily Town. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thanks for having me.
All right, stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.